This is CDO 395, a production of the Department of History at James Madison University and its Historical Research Methods course, History 395. I'm Ian Turner, a junior history major, and today we will be covering the relationship, or sort of imperialism during the Second World War, and how that applied to both Egypt and Libya. I'm speaking today with Michael Hornberger, a history major at James Madison and author of the paper, Egypt and Libya, Failures in British and Italian Foreign Policy. Michael, how are you?
Doing quite well.
That's good to hear. So what would you say were the relations between Egypt and Libya and their and sort of their overlords, you might say, or their imperial powers?
Mm-hmm. So Britain was occupying Egypt during World War II. They began this occupation in 1883, and they had dominated Egyptian politics by suppressing Egyptian nationalists for their own economic and strategic interests. The Egyptians were not very happy about this. They were not super supportive. They did not fight alongside of Britain. However, they did allow Britain to occupy Egypt during the war and use their facilities in order to stage a front against Italy and Germany. Libya, on the other hand, had a very different relationship with Italy. Italy had fully invaded Libya, and there were two distinct ethnic groups in Libya at the time, the coastal Arabs, who lived mostly in port cities like Benghazi and Tripoli, who supported Italy, and the nomadic Senussi, Berber, and Bedouins, who were adamantly opposed to Italian colonization.
I see. Well, in sort of going off that, how specifically had the British dominated Egyptian politics?
Great question. So the British first occupied Egypt in 1883 in order to gain more control over the Suez Canal. They restructured their government and put in place mostly pro-British politicians and judges and officials. Eventually, a group of Egyptian nationalists rose up called the Wafids, who were soon exiled from the country, leading in a massive revolution in 1917 to 1919. Britain then gave power back to Egypt and allowed them to create a constitution where they got a monarchy and a parliament. The monarch was King Fuad I, who was very pro-British, and the parliament at first was mainly the Wafid party. This angered Britain and King Fuad, and they would regularly dissolve parliament and, you know, break the constitution. This angered the Egyptian people and the Wafid party even more. And it eventually came to a point where the Wafids, the Wafid leader Nahas Pasha, mm-hmm. and by extension the Egyptian people, said, "We shall not take part in a coming war unless we can do so on the basis of cooperation between equals." This was said in 1935 when tensions between England and Italy were starting to rise.
Mm-hmm.
This changed, however, in 1936, when a new king came into power, King Farouk. He quickly joined the bandwagon of kind of fighting against Britain and signed a treaty forcing British troops out of Egypt except in Alexandria and along the Suez Canal zone. After that, when the war started, Britain had expected Egypt to join them. However, they cited the treaty, saying that they would support Britain and allow them to use their land and their facilities, but they would not join them in the fighting.
I see. And so what would you say for the, Libya and the Italians?
So Libya was very different. Italy had invaded Libya in 1911, and the war to annex Libya did not end until 1932. There were two distinct ethnic groups within Libya. As I previously stated, there were the coastal Arabs who had come during the time of the Islamic empires and the Ottoman empires. They were used to living under imperial rule and within civilization, so they were fine with the Italians coming in, and they quickly accepted them. It also helped that Italy had a large naval power that was able to completely destroy the coast should the Arabs not help them.
Mm-hmm.
But in the center of Libya, it was run by Bedouin and Berber nomadic tribes who are part of the Senussi order, which is a very, very staunch Islamic religious group, and they believed they were fighting against the infidels, who were the Italians. This caused them to not accept Italy like the coastal Arabs did, and this caused a almost 20-year war that only ended when Colonel Graziani and Count Volpe, the two Italian leaders in Libya, to set up concentration camps where they forced all the Senussi tribes who wouldn't kind of bend to their will, and they slaughtered all the Senussi's livestock, which was their livelihood.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So after the war ended in 1932, they gave the coastal Arabs and anyone who did not really fight against them during the annexation citizenship. They restructured the economy and their infrastructure, and they made them, like, almost the same social status as Italians, which they loved, and they supported this. However, the Senussi tribes who fought against them were still put in concentration camps. They lost all their economic viability because they were herders. They mm-hmm. they did mm-hmm. like sold camels, sheep, goats, etc., all of which were slaughtered during in the concentration camps. So they did not support Italy anywhere near the level that the Arabs did. So when the war came, there were about two battalions of Libyan troops who were fighting alongside Italy. And according to British reports and Italian reports, they fought very, very passionately and very bravely. However, these units were kind of seen as expendable. And so within the first year of the North African campaign, both those units died. And it was around this time that the British began beating the Italians, and Germany hadn't come to support them yet. So the Senussi went to the British leaders, and they allied with them and began doing various military operations for them, including guerrilla warfare, creating information networks and spy networks, and then assisting British prisoners of war in escape.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I see. Well, sort of in conclusion, do you have any final points or quotations you want to cite to wrap things up?
Yeah, so Libya and Italy's relationship saw two extremes, one side being the coastal Arabs, who Italy treated very well, and in turn were the Arabs treated Italy very well and fought with them as brothers, as opposed to the Senussi, who they completely subjugated and oppressed and ended up rising against them during the North African campaign. Egypt, on the other hand, their relationship with Britain was more lukewarm and laissez-faire. Britain never annexed them, never invaded them. They were just a protectorate. However, they still meddled with Egyptian internal affairs, which made the Egyptian people very unsatisfied. But because there was very little actual bloodshed, the Egyptians had no reason not to assist their occupier who they had had this relationship with for so long.
Hmm. Okay, well, that's about all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening to Studio 395. More interviews on a wide range of historical topics and subscriptions to our podcast are available on our show page at sites.lib.jmu.edu/studio395. To learn more about the history major at James Madison University, please visit www.jmu.edu/history.